Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Poet's Corner, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. This segment is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Podcast 43, Episode 10, Chapter 3b. The Hill of Difficulty.
In last week's episode, Christian laid his burdens at the cross where he met the three shining ones who gave him gifts to prepare him for his journey to the promised land. As Christian resumed his journey, he met simple, sloth, and presumption fettered to the ground. They refused Christian's counsel. Then Christian meets formalist and hypocrisy who sneak over the wall rather than enter through the wicket gate. A formalist is a type of Christian who adheres to prescribed or external forms rather than to doctrine. In other words, rather than study the Bible, they rely upon traditions. Remember that the Shining Ones commanded Christian to keep the script, meaning the Holy Bible, with him and read it often. Hypocrisy is a type of Christian who says what others should do, but does not follow his own counsel. In this episode, we begin with Christian's conversation with formalist and hypocrisy. So, as I said, they drew up unto him, who thus began talking with them.
Gentlemen, whence came you, and whither go you? We were born in the land of vainglory, and are going for praise to Mount Zion. Why came you not in at the gate which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know ye not that it is written, He that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. They said that to go to the gate for entrance was, by all their countrymen, counted too far about, and that therefore their usual way was to make a short cut of it, and to climb over the wall as they had done. But will it not be counted a trespass against the Lord of the city whither we are bound, thus to disobey his will? They told him that as far as that, he needed not trouble his head thereabout, for what they did they had custom for, and could show, if need were, testimony that could prove it for more than 1,000 years. But, said Christian, will it stand a trial at law?
As we listen to the argument of formalist and hypocrisy, it is useful to remember the counsel of worldly wise men, legality and civility, citizens of the city of morality. Formalists and hypocrisy appeal to legality as justification for their cheating.
They told him that custom, it being of so long standing as above 1,000 years, would doubtless now be admitted as a thing according to law by a fair judge. And besides, said they, if we get into the way, what matter is it which way we may get in? If we are in, we are in. Thou art but in the way, who, as we perceive, came in at the gate. And we also in the way, that came tumbling over the wall. Wherein, now, is thy condition better than ours?
Bunyan is drawing our attention to the cunning of Satan. On the one hand, worldly wise men, legality and civility, do not even pretend to take the journey. However, formalists and hypocrisy, who do take the journey, use the slick counsel of legality to take shortcuts. You can see how they got their names. Christian, having learned his lesson the hard way by listening to worldly wise men and nearly losing his life, disputes with formalists and hypocrisy.
I walk by the rule of my master. You walk by the rude working of your fancies. You are counted thieves already by the Lord of the way. Therefore, I doubt you will not be found true men at the end of the way. You come in by yourselves without his word, and shall go out by yourselves without his mercy.
Formalists and hypocrisy ignore the advice of Christian. They rely upon legality rather than upon the Spirit.
To this they made him but little answer, only they bid him look to himself. Then I saw that they went on every man in his way, without much talking one with another, save that these two men told Christian that as to law and rules, they doubted not, but that they should as carefully do them as he. Therefore, said they, we see not wherein thou differest from us, but by the colt which is on thy back, which was, as we believe, given thee by some of thy neighbors to hide the shame of thy nakedness.
Christian reminds formalists in hypocrisy of the gifts of the shining ones necessary to enter into the kingdom of God.
By laws and rules you will not be saved, since you came not in by the door. And as for this coat that is on my back, it was given to me by the Lord of the place whither I go, and that, as you say, to cover my nakedness with. And I take it as a token of his kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before, and besides, thus I comfort myself as I go. Surely, think I, when I come to the gate of the city, the Lord thereof will know me for good, since I have his coat on my back, a coat that he gave me freely in the day that he stripped me of my rags. I have, moreover, a mark in my forehead, of which perhaps you have taken no notice, which one of my Lord's most intimate friends fixed there the day that my burden fell off my shoulders. I will tell you, moreover, that I had then given me a roll sealed to comfort me by reading as I go in the way. I was also bid to give it in at the heavenly gate, in token of my certain going in after it. All which things I doubt you want, and want them because you came not in at the gate.
Formalists and hypocrisy laugh at Christian for being so punctilious. They travel in the same direction, though Christian keeps himself close as he studies the scroll. This illustrates one of the great paradoxes of Christianity. All three are taking the same journey, but unknown to formalists and hypocrisy, only Christian has the ability to endure to the end. Unless they repent and enter by the wicked gate, every step formalists and hypocrisy take is futile, for their compass is set, and they will unknowingly stray away from the straight and narrow way. They have set themselves up to fail.
To these things they gave him no answer, only they looked upon each other and laughed. Then I saw that they went on all, save that Christian kept before, who had no more talk but with himself, and sometimes sighingly, and sometimes comfortably. Also, he would be often reading in the roll that one of the shining ones gave him, by which he was refreshed.
The first challenge Christian, formalist, and hypocrisy meet is the hill of difficulty. At the bottom is a refreshing spring. Three paths surmount the hill of difficulty. One path, called difficulty, is very narrow, and leads straight up the high hill. The second path, called danger, goes around the mountain on one side. The third path, called destruction, goes around the mountain on the other side. Christian chooses the most difficult path.
I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There was also in the same place two other ways, besides that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left hand and the other to the right, at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill, and the name of that going up the side of the hill is called difficulty. Christian now went to the spring, and drank thereof to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill, saying, the hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up, heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe.
Formalist and hypocrisy take the other two paths respectively, thinking that all three paths lead to the same place. However, unaware of the danger, hypocrisy takes the road to destruction, where he stumbles and dies. Formalist takes the road to danger, becomes lost in the woods, and is never heard of again.
The other two also came to the foot of the hill, but when they saw that the hill was steep and high, and that there were two other ways to go, and supposing also that these two ways might meet again with that up which Christian went on the other side of the hill, therefore they were resolved to go in those ways. Now the name of one of those ways was Danger, and the name of the other Destruction. So the one took the way which is called Danger, which led him into a great wood, and the other took directly up the way to Destruction, which led him into a wide field full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell and rose no more.
The hill of difficulty was steep and arduous and challenged Christian to the limit, but he persevered.
I looked then after Christian to see him go up the hill, where I perceived he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and his knees, because of the steepness of the place.
Surprisingly, midway up the hill of difficulty was a sweet oasis where Christian could take a pleasant rest.
Now about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbor made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshment of weary travelers. Thither, therefore, Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom and read therein to his comfort. He also now began afresh to take a review of the coat or garment that was given him as he stood by the cross.
The roll refers to the Holy Scriptures, which the Shining Ones commanded him to read often as he traveled. However, things are not entirely as they seem. Bunyan delights in pointing out the many paradoxes Christians face, and how easy it is to call good evil and evil good. Or perhaps better said, how good can quickly turn to evil if one is not careful. Christian is so tired that he is mesmerized into carnal security. Like the five foolish virgins, he slept too long.
Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night, and in his sleep his roll fell out of his hand.
Bunyan loves Proverbs.
Now, as he was sleeping, there came one to him and awakened him, saying, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise."
But this is a small and understandable sin, and Christian immediately repents.
And with that, Christian suddenly started up and sped on his way and went apace till he came to the top of the hill.
Part of Bunyan's genius is that he so cleverly puts us in Christian's shoes. How many of us would, after an exhausting climb, have fallen fast asleep, thinking we deserved a rest? In addition, the next two characters Christian meets are notably internal to Christian himself, because suddenly the treacherous way grows even more dangerous. At that point, he meets timorous and mistrust. They can easily be interpreted as self-doubt, for Christian has reached a point where he wants to give up.
Now, when he got up to the top of the hill, there came two men running amain. The name of the one was Timorous, and the other Mistrust, to whom Christian said, "Sirs, what's the matter?" "You run the wrong way," Timorous answered, "that they were going to the city of Zion and had got up that difficult place. But," said he, "the farther we go, the more danger we meet with. Therefore, we turned and are now going back again." "Yes," said Mistrust, "for just before us lie a couple of lions in the way, whether sleeping or waking we know not, and we could not think, if we came within reach, but that they would presently pull us in pieces."
Please join us next week as we continue the treacherous journey with Christian.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.